580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're pleased to have you listening this morning. We are also pleased to have back here as our guest one of our staff members at WILL. Ed West is here. He's the chief engineer for WILL Radio and Television. And as you know, if you listen to the program regularly, we do shows with some of our programming people because we always have questions from people who want to know about the shows that we broadcast. But also, we have other kinds of questions. We have questions from people about the technical side of the operation here. And many years ago, for the first time, I think when we were still in our old home in Gregg Hall, we asked Ed one day if he would come on the show and answer on the air some of those questions that we so often get by mail or people call in. And he said sure that he would do that. And people seem to be very interested in the opportunity to talk with him. So this has been one of those things that now has become kind of a regular part of the show here, having him on the program. So if you have questions about the technical side of radio and television, could be about the rules that we have to operate under, about the way that we do things, about changes in the business, we'll try and talk about some of those things. Also, from time to time, we have had questions from people who have difficulty receiving particularly WILL AM, and we may be able to suggest some things that will help. So any and all of that, that's welcome. All you have to do is call us. If you're here in Champaign, Urbana, the number to call is 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, and that means if it would be a long-distance call for you, you can use that number and we'll pay for the call, 800-222-9455. And if you match the numbers with the letters on the phone, you get WILL. So 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Thank you very much for being here once again.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Oh, I was glad to talk to our constituency.
I think probably almost every time you're here, or frequently when you're here, we have talked about, or you have talked about, what's happening with the move to digital radio. Mm-hmm. What's happening, when it's likely to happen, and why don't we talk a little bit about that? Where do things stand now with digital radio?
Well, the many competing, or initially competing technical formats have sort of been combined into one that seems to predominate. It's presented by a company called Ubiquiti, which is a combination of USA Digital Radio and some of the other contenders. Westinghouse was a big mover and shaker in the digital AM radio scene. And it appears that they will have their system ready for licensing. And the way they're going to work it is that certain manufacturers will be licensed to produce transmitters, transmission equipment that generates the signal according to the Ubiquiti standard, which has been tested and is still being tested, actually, in larger urban areas. And the large companies like Harris, who manufactures a lot of broadcast equipment for the for the nation and international concerns too, will essentially license their equipment to broadcasters. And whether or not this will amount to the broadcaster paying an annual fee for the use of the standard, or whether they will pay an outrageous price for the equipment up front and thereby have a more or less lifetime license to use it, is still being negotiated. But the manufacturers are going to start building equipment to this standard for both AM radio and FM radio. Both of them have a digital will have a digital presence. And so far, we expect the equipment to start showing up later this year. Whether the FCC will mandate a standard or not is open to question. They may do another marketplace thing, although in light of what happened with AM stereo, that may not be a very good way to go. But they won't have the in AM stereo. There were five different systems that initially contended, and the FCC said, well, let the marketplace decide. Well, frankly, the open marketplace competition is not the best place to develop a technical standard for anything, because while the public certainly is not ignorant of quality issues and things like that, I think that probably laboratories are the place where these standards should be decided after proper testing and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we can look to see some digital presence showing up probably next year sometime.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I thought we could talk about here at some point was what's happening with digital and television. And in that case, all the television broadcasters are required to make this change, and there are dates by which everybody's supposed to do that. When in radio, then, is it something that's just left up to the stations? If WIL decided we wanted to broadcast digitally, we could, but no one says we have to?
Well, that's correct. And the FCC really hasn't considered a standard as such. They certainly did for the television case and selected, after much study, a standard way of transmitting a digital television picture and the sound that goes along with it. And that would really be the way I feel it should be done for radio, so that we don't have the possibility of going out and buying a receiver and having it not work on certain stations.
Mm-hmm.
The FCC probably will provide some guidance in the issue, but has not yet. It's still under consideration by them, and I think they're waiting for the ubiquity people to drop the other shoe and give them, apparently they have not delivered their recommendations to the FCC yet. So I think things will move pretty quickly after they do that, and they do intend to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, of course, the receiver manufacturers are also waiting for the shoe to drop. They don't want to start manufacturing a bunch of receivers that they're going to have to recycle that don't fit whatever standard is adopted. So it's sort of a chicken and the egg thing, as it has been with digital television. There have been some suggested changes in the method of transmitting that, and when the receiver manufacturers heard that, they all stopped their production lines and said, we're not going to build anymore until people get it together and decide what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an expensive, quite an expensive process. So I think that we should hear more really very soon about the digital radio thing.
Is this something that radio stations are very interested in? Particularly if there were, see, I think it's one of those situations where the radio stations are going to say, well, no, we're going to have to spend a lot of money on equipment, and until there are people who have radios that can receive it, there's sort of no point in that. And
right.
On the consumer side, the consumers will say, well, until there are stations that we can listen to, well, why should we buy new receivers? And if everybody's waiting for everybody else to do this, mm-hmm. it could take a long time before a substantial number either way of receivers are available or stations are broadcasting digitally.
Exactly. A perfect example of this kind of thing is the color television thing in the 50s and 60s. It took 15 years for color television to make almost total penetration of the television market. And with AM stereo, it has never really flown. So the chicken and the egg phenomena is very prominent in that business. In the TV case, the FCC did give us the deadlines. For instance, public broadcasters in general have to be on the air by May of 2003. Commercial broadcasters actually have to be on by May of 2002. So in that case, they forced the issue. Television in general is a more expensive item to transmit and produce than radio, so there's a little less money involved, but nevertheless, for a lot of broadcasters, it will be a major investment.
So. Well, let me ask one other question. I'm sure that on the minds of a lot of consumers, the question is, well, what's in this for me? Particularly now, if you know, say you have a good receiver, you have a system, and that you listen to music on the FM, and you think, well, it sounds pretty good to me right now. What extra advantage comes with having a digital signal?
Well, if you have a good enough receiver and a strong enough digital signal, you will notice a quieter, almost anywhere the digital signal is sufficiently strong, you'll notice a quieter reception, less noise, even in FM. Where the signal is strong, you should notice less, fewer multipath effects. The most predominant, probably, of which is the picket fencing effect that you get in an automobile when you're listening to FM, and you hear the impulses of noise, and as you slow down to a stop sign, they become slower and slower. And in fact, when you slow down or when you approach the stop sign, if you're unlucky, the place where you stop may be in a place where there's totally destructive interference, and in fact, the station may fade away. This sometimes happens to WILL-FM, even in Champaign-Urbana, and has gotten much worse as the number of buildings have gone up, and the construction has extended further and further and further. There are simply more reflections occurring from buildings and other objects, and sometimes these reflections do combine to drop the signal level below that which your receiver can handle. So in digital, there should be less of this where the signal is adequate. The FM digital system really is going to be a sort of super blend system under the Ubiquiti implementation of it. And essentially, the analog signal will still be there. They'll be transmitted simultaneously at the same frequency. Mm-hmm. So that when your receiver no longer finds the digital signal acceptable to produce a low-noise audio output, actually the audio from the analog system will be blended with it. And as most people with automobile radios are familiar, essentially, if you have a very strong signal, your analog radio will give you a pretty good stereo image. But as the signal tends to get noisier, the signal is blended into a monophonic signal. Less and less of the stereo information is used because it gets noisy, and more of the mono signal is fed to the speakers. Well, in this case, if the digital gets noisy and the analog signal is still acceptable, because you'll be each station will be transmitting them simultaneously, the digital signal will be at some point simply ignored, and you'll be listening to the analog signal. Mm. The digital signal quality will probably be about as good as the analog signal is now because of a good analog FM signal under sufficient signal strength conditions sounds great. And the digital probably will not. It's quality in terms of frequency response, and that probably will not be any greater than the analog is now. One of the attractions of the digital FM signal to broadcasters is that they promise to be able to transmit much more data on it. And, of course, in television and radio, if you can find a supplier of data that wants to broadcast it, and you can somehow put it on your signal and hide it from, in a way that won't be evident to the listeners to music or whatever. Obviously, you can make money doing that. And that has been one of the big draws for the digital signal, even in the AM case, the AM digital implementation. They are claiming that you'll be able to send data along with the AM signal, which is fine for the broadcaster, but in fact, in order to, in the AM case, you're going to have to limit your analog frequency response to 5 kilohertz tops. And that's about as good as it was back in the days when I was starting, and we, at WILL AM, we used to broadcast the Metropolitan Opera over a 5 kilohertz analog phone line circuit, which provided a signal that certainly sounded better than nothing, but if you compare it to today's satellite relayed Metropolitan Opera signals, it's simply a world of difference. Several octaves of difference in frequency response, and I don't think that anybody who is a serious listener to audio is going to be very happy with that kind of response. But in order to accommodate the digital signal, one will have to limit one's analog frequency response on an AM station. And there are lots of issues still to be resolved in the AM area anyway. So whether or not it's a complete solution to digitalizing radio, I personally have my doubts.
Well, let me just introduce again our guest for this part of Focus 580. We're talking with Ed West. He's our chief engineer for WILL. And every once in a while, he's here on the program, and we talk about the technical side of broadcasting and give you the chance to ask questions about how we operate and all of the things that are involved in getting the signal from here to wherever you are. Your questions are welcome. 333-WILL or 9455, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Maybe one more question about digital radio. Is the thinking that this might help with the problem, I guess particularly here I'm thinking about the problem on the FM dial, where stations are very close together and can interfere with one another?
It certainly should, but like the present analog situation, so much depends on the design of the radio. The radio is, the receiver is sometimes more than 50% of the transmission path, because if you, you can have the finest transmitter in the world, but if people are trying to listen to you on a 1295, the typically clock radios have pretty terrible receiver circuitry on them, they overload easily. The selectivity, which means their ability to separate stations, is pretty poor. They're subject to all kinds of noise, so it pretty well defeats, you spend $100,000 on a transmitter. The 1295 clock radio will defeat your attempt to get a decent signal to the listener's ears there, as will, of course, a cheap, an exceedingly cheap and poorly designed television receiver in the television case.
Well, we have a caller to talk with. Why don't we do that? In Savoy, line one. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hold on there. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have sort of three questions.
One, yes.
Will digital help the distance limitation for the AM? And could you put AM as a subcarrier on the digital TV and be able to get wider coverage that way? And then my final question is, have you considered with these new satellite radio channels where you get 200 channels in your car, of there being like a WILL channel that people could get around the world?
Well, I think we would love that. I think we would love to be a superstation. And right now, the satellite radio vendors are making arrangements with NPR and PBS And so I suspect an NPR feed will be available, but unfortunately it will not have the localism that we here in the grassroots broadcasting feel is necessary to make radio a viable medium. And that's what we feel differentiates us from people who might listen to NPR. We have information about the local community and what's going on, and present things that the local community is interested in. Anyway, that's the last sort of addresses the last issue you brought up. It would be possible to put the AM broadcast signal on one of the channels, many channels available on the digital TV feed. Whether that would be done, of course, is up to management. If they told me to do it, I would certainly, my staff and I could certainly do it technically, but it's probably a management decision, and probably they will think about that.
What would I have to do to listen to it if you did? Will the new digital TVs be able to pick it up, or
if we encode it as an audio channel, you can send out many audio signals on a digital television signal as they're constituted. So yeah, we could make it a channel that you could select either on a television receiver or another device that might be dedicated to that. There was another thing you brought up about the increasing the AM range,
right?
Now the directionality of the signal. In other words, we have our directional characteristics of our pattern. That will not be changed by digital radio. In other words, we'll have to feed our digital signal into our present antenna so that it generates the same kind of pattern. So that I suspect that where we're pretty weak, we still will be fairly weak. The advantage or disadvantage, depending on how you look at it, of both digital television and digital radio is that when the digital receiver can no longer do error correction at the threshold the designer sets, the radio will simply become quiet. In other words, in present analog, as you drive further and further from the station, particularly in AM, it just gets noisier and noisier until it finally gets buried. You'll find it with the digital radio. It will blend to the analog signal, and then eventually, but at some threshold, the digital is there, fully error-corrected, sounding great, sounding quiet, and then in the next 100 feet, it just isn't. It just disappears, and this will happen both for the digital radio and television signals.
Probably won't increase the distance much.
I don't really think so. But close in, where it's strong, it'll be quieter. Even though it'll be the analog signal will be of lower fidelity than it is now, because currently, if you're interested in such figures, AM stations are required to transmit virtually no audio above 10 kilohertz, mm-hmm. And this is for adjacent channel interference reduction. But the any station employing the Ibiquity digital system will be required to limit their analog audio response to 5 kilohertz, which to me is a sort of regression.
Right.
I think we're going backward in some ways. So does that answer?
Yeah. It doesn't solve the problem.
It doesn't. Indeed, it doesn't.
Right. Interesting thing happens to me when I'm driving on Neal Street north towards Champaign.
Yes.
I will sometimes, WIL AM will just disappear and I will hear voices talking. And I think it's when I'm, near the transmitter towers down by Windsor Road.
Well, if you notice the power, electrical power distribution system, in that area,
yep.
There's a lot of very many high voltage lines, and some very tall steel poles.
Yep.
And another factor is that, although it's not a big factor, is that sometimes when you're driving there, in some radios, as you're driving by WDW, used to be WDWS.
WHMS, is it?
HMS. No. Yeah, it's still
Well, the AM is still WDWS. The other one is different.
That's another RF signal that your radio has to contend with, even though it's far removed from 580. So with the re-radiation from the power system and the additional RF signals, some strange things happen down in that area of Neal Street, and it is quite close to our transmission site. But essentially it has to do with re-radiation from the electrical power system.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Very
thank
good.
You.
Thank you for the call. We are just a little bit past the midpoint here. Our guest is our chief engineer, Ed West, and if you have questions about the technical side of broadcasting, radio or television, you can call us here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. Next, we'll talk to someone in Fairbury on our line number four. Hello.
Good morning. Enjoy your program.
Good morning.
Say, I was just wondering, sometimes when we have electrical storms, you can hardly hear the farm market, and there would be any way to have that on an FM station?
Well, it's feasible, but our FM format is pretty much classical music and news, and I think that would have to be suggested to management, and you might it would be quite a format breaker, actually.
A lot of people don't like the market program anyhow.
I mean
the city dwellers.
Well,
I think they just don't. They don't understand it.
I think they don't understand it. If you have, you know, it's rather interesting, really, if you do pay attention find out what those prices are doing, because it's going to affect the city dwellers and everybody else in the long run. So,
right.
I find it interesting, but I know that a lot of people are fairly impatient with it. But
yes, and one more thing. Would you recommend, or maybe it's not possible, a medium-priced radio? You know, you're talking about the $12.95 job.
Yeah. But, well, I certainly can, and it's I probably we can mention brands when they have it's of service to the listener.
Yes.
The AM radio that I recommend is the GE Super Radio 3. It's a radio that sells for around $50.
Yes.
And it's got battery or AC let's see. We can't issue calls to action. Is that correct?
I think that that's correct.
Okay. Well, I can't. I am not allowed by federal law to go out to tell you to go out and buy one.
No.
But I will suggest that it has one of the finest AM radio sections for the price.
Yeah.
Actually, it is a number of listeners. It has solved some AM listening problems, but. For its price, and it's usually available at places like Best Buy. I've seen them at Kmart.
Yes.
Things like that.
Fine.
But the GE Super Radio, and it has an FM section too. So you, but it is a portable, so that you know if your power goes out, you can listen to. You can use the battery section, but and it has a good directional antenna. You may have to sit it on a table and rotate the thing to. But it'll eliminate a good deal of noise, and if the GE Super Radio 3 can't get it, probably not many even much more expensive component type radios can.
Surely. Okay. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling.
I guess what is sad, or at least it's sad for us who are in the AM business, that a lot of manufacturers of receivers don't take very much care in the way that they design the AM part
exactly.
of the receiver, figuring that, AM, no one listens to AM, and they're thinking that most people are going to be listening to the FM.
Well, one of the arguments used for the restricted audio frequency response of the digital analog AM combination was that looking at the average receiver, it doesn't have the average AM receiver has a frequency response about equal to that of a telephone call, which is designed for intelligibility, but it is fatiguing to the ear. And many studies have been done to listen to a bad sounding aural signal, mm-hmm. and is fatiguing, and it encourages people not to listen. So I think decreasing the fidelity of the signal is, in my mind, a mistake. But,
Is that something that you think people would be able to notice on voices as well as with music?
I think so, because, for one thing, the low frequency content is not there, and it would lead to a tinnier sound. And I think that's one of the things that people notice first, the lack of low frequency. Most, for instance, certainly a lot of male voices will be affected by it, the quality. So I think people will indeed notice it.
All right. We have someone else to talk with. This is Belgium, and the caller's on line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. In response to your talking about radios, Crane Radio out of California sells these things, but they also, which is a mail order type place, and but they also sell an antenna that is essentially just a huge coil of wire immersed in some sort of resin, sealed up, and then you can adjust it so that you can supposedly improve your signal response.
Having used them, I don't really recommend them.
That was the question I was going to ask.
If you buy it from Crane, you would. I have a Crane catalog in front of me. I usually give out their phone number because they do have a marvelous assortment of shortwave and broadcast band things.
They have all kinds of interesting toys in there.
They do.
And
I'll give out their 800 number later and their address, because they are a marvelous, as you say, collection of toys.
Yeah.
But for some people, this select antenna can improve things. But like most things in the communications business, one size does not fit all. And you may have certain situations like, say, you're inside a building, as we are here at Campbell Hall, which is constructed with metal studding instead of the normal wood. Well, there are places where the select antenna works marvelously, particularly near a window. But on the inside of the building, it doesn't help at all. And, in fact, an old rule in the radio or any communications business, if there's no signal to be amplified or picked up, you can have the greatest receiver in the world. It'll just sit there and hiss at you, literally. The select antenna is worth a try, particularly if you're out in the open or you're in a house made of wood and not around your ability to receive the signal is not distorted by large amounts of metal.
Yeah, my problem is that I have a high tension, one of those 40 or 50,000 volt lines over mm-hmm. top of my location and thing. That seems to add problems. But I seem to get it fairly decent at night, but I'm directly east of you folks. So I think you broadcast in this direction, don't you?
Right. Our pattern is a heart-shaped pattern with the dip toward Springfield and actually toward Topeka, Kansas, which is where the station is that we had to protect when that pattern was designed. But we're fairly strong north and south and fairly strong to the east.
I see. Like this gentleman said, during the thunderstorms, it gets to the point where even if their thunderstorms are long ways away from us, it seems to just tear up the signal 100%.
Right. That's one of the big problems with AM. And particularly at night, when we drop our power, transmitting power, to 100 watts, everybody literally gets a much weakened signal, and particularly to in the direction of our minimum, Springfield and in Springfield, the reception is degrades very rapidly outside of town.
Have you folks changed any? Because I'm over the, about the last year or so, I've noticed that my nighttime reception does seem to come in much better than it used to. Has there been any sort of change?
There hasn't been any change in our antenna system or in the pattern or in the power we use. Some things will change as a result of construction. For instance, we're required to measure from time to time our field strength in various places in the outlying areas. And in making those measurements, I've noticed fluctuations up and down depending upon what is being built. So if you have had any significant construction between you and the station, that may well have changed the amount of signal you get.
Well, I didn't have any construction, but we had some destruction.
Oh.
Knocked a large building down.
Well, that might have helped, because even in the AM case, there are reflection problems.
I see.
And even if some power lines were built, which are great reflectors of AM signals, that may have changed things.
Oh, they did some of that, too.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have just about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. Our guest is Ed West. He's the chief engineer for WILL. And occasionally, he's here on the show, we talk a little bit about the technical side of broadcasting. If you have questions, you can call 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL.
And I would invite people to, I have an email address here at the university. You can, in fact, submit questions through our webpage. And they'll be relayed to me if they're sufficiently technical. If you have questions about programming or anything of that nature, you can also respond to our webpage address. And if they concern me, they'll get to me. But this might be the time to mention this address of this crane company.
Sure.
And this is, again, not a call to action, but it's just a suggestion that if you're interested, give them a call. They have an 800 number. It's 522-8863. And they're in Fortuna, California. 95540 at 558 10th Street. And, of course, their name is C period Crane, C-R-A-N-E.
Okay. And that's they have various kinds of antennas and radios and what all else do they have?
Oh, accessories. Here's a radio noise filter, surge protector. They'll sell you fax machines, phones, alternative power sources, scanner antennas. Scanners and shortwave antennas, world band radios, and of course the wonderful GE Super Radio 3.
Okay.
And all kinds of antenna kits, long wires, loops. The unit the previous gentleman was mentioning, the Select Antenna, they call it powerful AM antenna. But again, it depends on where you are. And I usually advise people, if they can, when they're buying things like that, to have a take-back provision that if it doesn't work for you, you can return it. So that's certainly what I demand when I buy electronics.
The lines have now filled up, and we have a couple of people who are on mobile phones, so I want to try to get to them, starting with line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
You may have covered this already. I just tuned in, but... I'm wondering what the best way to hook up a AM antenna to a home stereo system. You know, they come with the small FM T-type antennas that it's better to go with a rooftop. But how do you hook up an AM antenna to a home stereo system?
Well, typically, the conventional AM antenna is a long wire outside the house, but if you build one, lightning protection is absolutely terribly important. There are other kinds of loops that you can buy from people like Crane. There are also active antennas made by companies like Prism and TERK, T-E-R-K, some of which are available certainly in the Champaign-Urbana area. But those can be very helpful AM antennas, and they're totally inside the house, and they're not unsafe.
So those are like sit on top of the console type of antenna?
Yes, and they're available in various sizes. You can get pretty large ones if you want to, but they can be fairly effective.
And an outside antenna is just a single wire?
Typically, yes. The crane company has all kinds of designs for these and books about doing antennas, the long wire antenna. But the thing I would stress is that if one does make an outdoor long wire antenna, and you string it between a couple trees or whatever, you have to be very careful about lightning suppression, because if you don't do that adequately, it certainly can affect, if you do get a lightning strike or fire, the insurance company that you deal with will look very much askance at that if it wasn't done properly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have another car phone here in Champaign, line 2. Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the future, because it sounds, a tad quaint to be talking about all these broadcast AM features when there's presumably, when I was at NAB, I didn't get to fully investigate it, but it looks like digital satellite radio is coming on board. And also, certainly when I listen to WILL, I listen, pull it in over the Internet from my cable modem, and I listen to radio from around the world that way.
Right, right. Oh, that's, in fact, becoming a very large part of what we do and how we think here. Certainly our broadcasting, particularly radio, is not limited to over-the-air reception.
Right.
In some ways, yes, with the satellite radio coming along and with Internet reception here, and manufacturers even making special boxes that the even the non-computer types can plug into their, to receive, Internet radios. Bose Corporation has one out that's very fine.
Right, and there's a couple others that I've been reading about that are coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I expect to see a bunch of them out, and eventually people probably won't be really conscious of whether they're receiving things over the air or via the Internet. So, it's very much part of what we do here, and...
And that should also then change some of your context. For example, one of the things as a city dweller, when I moved down here, I was quite charmed to find out what was going on in the Yalu River Basin in terms of rain. And it took me a while to realize that this was competitive farming that was driving the question. Just a tad more context in those programs, I think, could make them far more interesting. There are... written totally, I think, now for the farmer, and particularly as your footprint broadens on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
then what you need to tell needs to get slightly more broadened as well.
Well, I think that's correct. I think one of the factors is that to produce different content for the on-air signal and the Internet signal would require additional funding.
Oh, yes. And I'm not sure it's necessary.
I
was suggesting slight changes.
Yeah. I understand your suggestion that we should it would be good if we were to broaden our thinking, given that we are now, we have a worldwide footprint, and sometimes
right.
we...
I mean, for example, that you don't often tell us about, as rain changes, how yield might change, or things like that, where, all of a sudden, it would be interesting to know what our local farmers are doing with that crop, and what they're expecting, and what foreign, when you give the competitive... competitive location, how that what the expectation of both yield and then price might be. So that if you tell us the whole system story, it's really quite, it's an amazing world story.
Yes, it is. And that's why I made my prior remark that actually the crop reports are interesting and probably could be made more so. I will make sure that our agricultural staff receives your comments. Those, of course, are programming decisions. And while I agree, I think they do a pretty nice job now. But I'll make sure that they get your comments.
Thank you so much.
And I appreciate your time.
We'll try to get at least one more caller here because we are rather short on time. Caller is in Winnebago on line 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm right up by the Wisconsin line, so you can appreciate my problems. I do have 3 of those GE radios, and I should note if you are near a farm and fleet, they were recently selling them for $27 a piece.
Great.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
But I have an arcane question. There's a way of accessing the Internet using a satellite down and a telephone line to go to your ISP provider.
Yes.
And what my single question is, could I pick up your station on the downlink from the satellite and then shut off my own phone link and leave it that way?
I believe that should be possible. Once you start the download, it's a continuous streaming thing.
Leave it.
Once you initiate it, you should be able to continue on with the download until you get back on your phone line and change things.
Well, I guess I'd better try it then. That might solve an awful lot of problems.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have to keep your phone line occupied.
Quite. One other thing, I do have one of those select antennas.
Right.
You're right, they don't work everywhere.
No,
but
certainly don't.
But those GE radios are just the bee's knees.
They really are. For the price, they're and I wouldn't take the trouble to mention them on the air if they weren't. And at a wonderful solution at a reasonable, affordable price.
The only problem is I don't know what to do about automobiles. You can't, when you buy an auto radio, you really can't tell until you've installed it whether the thing's going to have an acceptable AM section.
Right.
And I had no idea how to get a handle on that problem.
Have you tried any of the ones with European names, Blaupunkt, and those? Well, they're the, I think, preeminent car radio.
Gosh, yeah, I haven't had a Blaupunkt since I had a VW Bug. So.
Well, I think they're they're on sale in the aftermarket electronics sections. Even I think they were Sears was selling them in their automotive radio section. They tend to have pretty well designed AM sections because the Europeans have remained pretty picky about their AM services.
I'm going to have to jump in here. My apologies for cutting in on the caller, but we've used our time, and we must put a halt to things there. We do have a caller holding in Urbana. You want to talk with them off the air? Okay, if the caller on line 3 in Urbana would like to hold on, Ed will talk to them. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Ed West, he is our chief engineer for WILL Radio and Television.